Would you please turn in your Bibles to the 119th Psalm, Psalm 119. We'll read the first 16 verses. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Most of what I have to say will come from the next 8 verses. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the ordinances of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Do you feel like crouching under the seat when you read that? I did. I must have read it a dozen times the last day. And how far I am away from that. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I'm sure God will add a blessing to the public reading of his precious word. I wanted to ask Cassidy, just after his prayer, if he had somehow got a hold of my notes. Do you remember that he prayed that the young people learn and store up the Bible? And that he also prayed that we would not do things half-heartedly, or that we would do them wholeheartedly? Well, that comes directly out of this passage of Scripture. And while a lot of times I'm concerned about whether what I'm about to say or have studied is what the Lord wants me to say, I would never have any doubt about whether or not this message or the thoughts behind it would be out of place or untimely. That has nothing to do with how it's going to come out of my mouth. That has to do with what the Bible has to say about the Bible. If I was using any other thing as an illustration, that would be a terrible way to prove it. You don't prove something by its own testimony. If you were in court and you were asked to help the judge make a decision by your witness, you would find people other than the defendant to prove that he's not guilty. His word, though has some impact, doesn't carry the day. There are other people who have to help him out. Not so with the Bible. The Bible is its own witness. God says that he honors his word above his name. In the 119th Psalm, the phrase, according to thy word, appears 17 times. The psalmist recognizes that if anybody is going to do anything the way it should be done, it needs to be done according to God's word. That particularly applies to young people, and I can't say that I didn't know you were going to be here this morning. We got quite a crowd in Sunday school today. But when I read this passage, and I've had it in my heart for several weeks, I thought, you know, what better thing could I say than to tell the young people today that they need to hide the word of God in their hearts. If I just said that and you did it, my work here would be complete and successful. Hide God's word in your heart. 17 times. We won't go through all of them. We may only go through one, because that's what verse 9 says. The first verse of that second section of the 119th Psalm. I wanted to say that the Psalm is divided up into 22 sections, each of 8 verses, each one corresponding to the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. I think most of us know that. It's a wonderful acrostic. If you were to consider that the first 8 verses were A, every verse of those first 8 begin with the letter A, if it was English. Every verse of the second section begin with the letter B, and all the way down until the end. So you could make wonderful messages like joy, you know, the chorus. J-O-Y, Jesus, J-O, others, Y-U. Do you know that means everybody? There's nobody left out of that little acrostic, Jesus, in heaven. Others, everybody beside you, and then you. Well, that's what God's Word is like. God's Word is absolutely complete. It needs nothing to be added to it. As a matter of fact, we are warned by the Bible not to add anything to it. Cursed is are the people who add to God's Word. It's like Alpha and Omega. If this refers to the Hebrew alphabet, in the book of the Revelation, the Lord Jesus is referred to as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. They are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. But they not only mean that he is the first and the last, they mean that he's everything that's good that could be made up of all the letters of all of the alphabets of all the worlds. You could not exhaust the value of the Lord Jesus with every language in the world. Well, such is the thought concerning God's Word. And this verse tells us how to live, by taking heed thereto. The verse says, according to thy word. We go to other people for advice, don't we? We say, what more can I do? They're all that's left, other people. You know, if you advise someone who comes to you, and your advice leaves out what God's Word has to say about the difficulty that they're in, or the problem that they're having, or the need that they have. If your advice always leaves out God's Word, you're not helping. The best advice you can give anyone who comes to you in need is to find out what God's Word says about that need, and then pass that on. Sometimes without comment. Sometimes when I'm standing up here, I wish I could do that. Because the Bible is much more important. God's Word is much more important than anything that I have to say about it. Go to the Scriptures. It acts like a map. There are several words in the Psalm that refer to God's Word. They're called statutes all through the Psalm. A statute is something normally engraved on a stone. It could be referred to as the decrees of a king. What the king decides concerning his kingdom is a statute. That's what God's Word should be to us. They're called commandments. A commandment in a home is the will of a father. Can I say that again? The commandment in a home is the will of a father. I think that needs to be said a lot. And God's will should be what we should want to hear and to obey. Judgments, they're called. That's what the judge does. The decisions of a judge. And God is the righteous judge. Laws, they point out the way into God's will. A sign on the road. 45 miles an hour, and we do 55, and we say, the cops have worked this out. If you're going 6 or 7 miles an hour over the speed limit, they won't book you, but if you go 10, they will. So you drop down in between, and you're safe until you hear the siren. And you say, uh-oh. The law says 45 miles an hour, and God's law points to God's will, and God's will is always right. His testimonies witness what he is. Tell us of his character. And they are testimonies here. Precepts are directions from God, such as the directions of a teacher
to a pupil. We all should teach by example. Young people can look at us, children could look at us, other people can look at us and say, that's how to live. Look at how he's living. Look at how she's living. But sometimes we have to use this to say, this is what God says. That's a precept. And they are supposed to show other people directions, the things that we say, words, that which is spoken, and the way. When we take God's word off the shelf, put it down in our shoes. And if you come here next Sunday and you're standing 2 inches taller than you were today, I'll know that you didn't get that. Needs to be put into our shoes. We need to walk it and to talk it and to live it. Because the people in Spanish Wells, you know, most of us did grow up in Sunday school. And most of us know a lot of the Bible. But oh, what a delight it is that we walk to the Lord Jesus, if we walk in his ways. How shall I cleanse my way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And you know, sometimes when we get young people together particularly, we do other things for them. And the word gets around that if you go to Roddy's house, he's having the young people down there, they're going to have refreshments, they're going to have games, they're going to have pillow fights, they're going to have, you know, you name it. And in the middle there, you're going to have 30 seconds of Bible study. And they'll say, we don't like the Bible study, but that other stuff sounds good. There comes a time when we need to understand, when I need to understand that the only thing that's going to do the job is God's word. Now, let me qualify that. We have a young people's meeting here on Monday evenings. And I couldn't better that format. I have looked at it. I've never gone into it to try to decide what was wrong with it. But I know what goes on, and I've talked to the leaders as to what goes on, and I think it's as close to what we should do as it's possible to get. I understand that you can go to other young people's meetings, and you'll find that there are things allowed that shouldn't be allowed, and we don't allow them here. And I say, thank you, Lord, because it's only God's word that's going to do the job. And if we allow the young people to come and do as they please, so that they'll come back next week, what are they coming back for? I'll tell you what to do as they please. So thanks, Brother Ross and the others who do that work and carry God's word to the young people. Stand up for what's right. Sooner or later, they will come back and thank you for not allowing them to do what they wanted to do. You see, the time for character building is not when you're my age. I hope I can still learn, but the way I go has been decided for much too long to make any big changes. You are pliable. You know, you're like a young sapling in the forest. The winds come and you bend over and you come back. You know what happens to the big tree when it can't stand the wind? It breaks. Hard to bend, hard to change. The time to build your character is now. How do you do it? By taking heed thereto, according to God's word. You're never too young to read, to study, to meditate upon God's word and make it a part of your life. With my old heart, verse 10 says, have I sought thee? Oh, let me not wonder from thy commandments. What do you think are the two most important words there except the commandments? Look at the verse. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. I think it's whole heart. Remember I said Cassidy prayed that we be wholehearted for the Lord? Not half-hearted as I have often been and as we often are. Mr. MacDonald in his commentary says, this verse tells us that human need and human desire has to be combined with the power of God and brought together. And when that happens, we have a whole and successful Christian life. Wholeheartedly doing God's commandments, not half-heartedly. Are we hungry, you and me, for this book? Do you have a desire when you get up in the morning? Does it cross your mind, does it cross my mind, that one of the things I need to do very soon is get my instructions for the day from the Lord? Or do we say, I've got to go there, do that, see him. That's going to take 3 or 4 hours. I've got to, I've got to find some time to read my Bible. Or do we say, first, I get my instructions from the day, and these other things will be done as I can do them. Now, I know that's a tough question if you're like me, because the answer to it is often the answer that we would not like to have to get up here in this building in front of these people and say, this is how I live and this is what I do. But oh, what a joy it would bring to the heart of the Lord, and what a change and transformation it would bring to my life. If my appetite for God's Word was as my appetite is for my food, because if it isn't, and we treat God's Word as a stepchild, and we eat our daily food as if it's going out of style, then we're going to be spiritually malnourished and crippled. Because that's what's going to happen to the child who don't eat his food. But we don't look at it that way. We think about it and we discuss it and we pray the Lord to help me to do this. But by and large, what we do is we go back to the ways of the way we do things. And the Lord is sometimes unhappy with us, and we are stunted in our growth as Christians. But you know, one of the saddest things about that, if it is true of us, is that sometimes we aren't aware that that's the problem. We're so accustomed to reading for a minute or two a day, or 10 minutes a day, and believing that that's okay, that when we do get spiritually malnourished, we can't put our finger on it. The Bible says that every verse of this psalm, it's 176 verses, except 4, mentions God's Word in one of the ways that I just said. Precepts, laws, words, way, judgment. Every verse, 172 out of 176 verses, mentions God's Word. It's there for us. There is not a famine of God's Word, although that is going to happen to the world. It's talked about as happening to Israel. We need to spend time, make time. The devil will make sure that that becomes difficult for you, but we need to make sure we spend time in his word. Verse 11, thy word have I hidden in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Same thought. Just put a different way so that we'll eventually get the message. I hid thy word in my heart. Matthew Henry, commentator, says, if you hide God's word in your house or in your hands, it's possible for somebody to steal it. A lot of us hide it in our house. I hope we don't hide it so we can't find it, but you know what I mean. We put it on a shelf. Or even if we have it in our hands, somebody can snatch it. If we hide it in our heads, we can forget it. Memories fail. I can prove that to you. But if you hide it in your heart, if I hide it in my heart and it changes my life, My memory can go wherever it wants to. The mold of my life has been set by God's Word. And it will show, fellow Christian, it will show. The best book to read is the Bible. The best place to keep it is in the heart. The best reason for doing that is so that we will not sin. Someone has said, and I have already mentioned, that the problem is the devil doesn't make that easy. He wants to do things, and he does do things, to distract us, even while we're reading it. We've got up that morning, we've got up the right attitude, we've decided, from now on, I'm going to read this word, and I'm going to just bury it in my soul, and I will be like God wants me to be. And while we're praying, somebody calls us on the phone. Sure, of course it happens. And it will happen the more you determine, and the more I determine that this is going to be my way of life, the more he will make sure that the detractions come. You say, God allows him to do that? Well, what he allowed him to do to Job tells me he's got a lot of things that he can do. But you know, he can only do what God allows him. You see him down there, he'll curse you if you touch him. God said, take everything he's got, don't touch his body. He took everything he had. And Job said, God gave, God took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God said, this is the limit. And that limit is a threshold, if I read my Bible right. That limit is the threshold that God has imposed on him. So he can't get past the strength that God has put in your heart, in mine. He will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able. The tempter can only go so far, and the threshold of our ability to get over the temptation is above that. So when we fall, what does James say? God tempts nobody. We fail when we follow our own lusts and are enticed. God makes a way for us, but we have to make time. And we need to hide the word in our hearts. Verse 12 says, and 13, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the ordinances of thy mouth. Sometimes when I read the Bible and I know I'm going to have to speak on it, frequently, something stands out to me more than the other things. And don't ask me how I can put anything above the verse that I just did. I don't really. It's just that it makes an impression on my heart. Verse 13 is the verse. With my lips have I declared all the ordinances of thy mouth. Verse 12 says, we are taught by God. We say, you're supposed to be teaching us now. Oh, he uses weakness, weak vessels, and humans, other instruments to do it. But the teaching comes from him. Ever read the Bible? I read a fair amount of commentaries, other people's views. But the greatest thrill of my life is finding something for myself in God's Word. There is absolutely nothing in my experience that tops that. Reading the Bible for the umpteenth time, and all of a sudden, it jumps out as if it, you know, you were so silly not to see it before. And it thrills your soul. You know something? You never forget it either. Remember Brother Joe Reese came here, first or second time. He said, Brother Roddy, you ever read that verse in Mark says, where their worm dieth not, and fire is not quenched? I said, yeah. So how do you spell there? Where there worm? I said, T-H-E-R-E. Now, I know I'm expressing my ignorance when I say that, so if you knew it was T-H-E-I-R, you beat me. He said, no, it's T-H-E-I-R. The worm in hell will equal the life and sins of the sinner. It's their worm. T-H-E-I-R. Now, Even though that came from Brother Joe Reese, I haven't forgotten it. But sometimes, in my experience, that's happened to me, and I've never forgotten the lessons. But you know, that will never happen to me again if I don't read this word. It will never happen to you. We need to read so that we can be instructed. And then verse 13 says, we need to tell others so that we will remember. I wish I could remember stories like some people do. Somebody tells me a story, so I'm going to remember that one. About 3 weeks from then, something happens and that story fits. So I say, oh, I got something I want to tell you. I get about two phrases into it and I forget the rest of the story. You're much better off not to have said anything, of course. What's the reason that I haven't remembered? It's because it went 3 weeks and I never told anybody. I never said it. It never came out of my mouth. What I remember is not only what I learned, but what I tell others. Two principles. That one. And the other one is that God wants me to witness for Him to others. That's going to bless His name. Oh, that's going to bless His name. He is going to be so pleased when He sees the mouth that can be so used for frivolous, useless conversation, filled with the desire to tell of His love to others. It's going to thrill my soul as I tell it, and hopefully it will benefit the person I'm speaking to. That's the verse that hit me in the face when I studied this passage from God's Word. You say, but we don't all preach. It doesn't say anything here about preaching. It means preaching. But that verse is applicable to every child of God on the planet who can speak. There are other verses that back that up. Philippians chapter 2, and I don't remember, 15, 16, 17, 18th verse maybe. Sorry about that. We need to put a voice to our Christianity in the community in which we live. Verses 14 and 15. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Can I just skip that one out this morning? Maybe you'd like to as well. That I would enjoy reading God's Word as much as I would enjoy or be thrilled if somebody came to me, and not to any of you, just me, and said, I found a cache of gold. It's not what somebody put there. It's a vein of gold on Pear Rock. It's probably worth $100 billion. You're the only person I'm going to tell. And I say, well, I'm very sorry. But I'm just started to read my Bible. And he says, well, I'm going from here to somebody else. You say, you're going to an extreme now. I know I am. I have to go to extremes to get your point across. If you don't go with me, I'm going next door to Bucky. And I'm going to carry him down there. And I say, go if you must. This is more important to me. But you say, but I could read that this afternoon or tomorrow. The gold is going to be gone. Well, you get the picture. How am I thrilled when I get up in the morning, when I anticipate going to the place where my Bible is ready for me to read it or to the service, to listen to God's Word. Do I rejoice in that? As much as in all riches. I leave the question to you. I've asked myself it many times. I will meditate in thy precepts, verse 15 says, and have respect unto thy ways. Comes a time, as I've mentioned before, when the things that we know need to be put into action. And that's what his ways speak about. Not only meditating upon it in verse 14, but following it, being doers of it and not hearers only. Do you remember ever saying to your parents, when, especially when you got near the top of school, maybe some of you are still there, and they say, well, you know, you really should go for another year. This used to happen to us when I went to school and some of us did and some of us didn't. And we said, what for? My friends are going smack fishing. There's money to be made. Why do I have to stay in school? Or what am I going to use that for? I'm going to get married. I'm not going to leave Spanish Wells. And then you go smack fishing and one of the guys says, the seller or whoever does that is not feeling too good. Go and deal with Gil. Find out how much crawfish we have, how much a pound it is. Check it with him and you say, but I didn't quite get that. Oh, I know everybody's got that. Don't misunderstand me. But there are things in life which would test us above that which we learn. And then we say to ourselves, oh, if I had only stuck to it a bit longer. You see, there comes a time when if you know it, you can use it. And if you don't know it, we can't use it. Therefore, we need to be able to say, as the psalmist, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Also, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Are we convinced as Christians that the answer to our needs lies between the covers of this book? Do we do this wholeheartedly or do we do this half-heartedly? Are we absolutely certain that the answer to my way, to my steps, to my life, to my family, to my work, to my fellowship, to my home, are contained in the words of the Bible? If you're not convinced of that, if I get delight more in the things of the world and people of the world, and I find the Word of God boring, I've got a problem. I need to go to the cross. Oh, I believe that there are some Christians who find more delight in the world. They've gone that far away from the Lord Jesus that their hearts are cold and they're miserable. I think a miserable Christian is much more miserable than a miserable sinner. A miserable Christian has got a taste of what life should be like and the joys of being with the Lord Jesus, close to Him. A miserable Christian is an awful condition to be in. But we have to be sure that this is where the answer lies. Sharing it brings joy and satisfaction, tells us of the Lord Jesus. It is His story. But we need to do it wholeheartedly. We need to delight ourselves in His statutes, in His word, in His will. I gave a little story when I was speaking in August, I think it was. I said that His will should be sweet to us, even if it seems wrong. Let me explain. It's possible that what you're going through now, have been through, or will go through one day, will seem wrong to you. You'll look up at the Father and say, how did you let this happen to me? And He says, wait a minute. That's my will. I don't ask you to understand it, because you can't. I'm asking you to trust me. I'll take care of it. And you know, the sad part about our Christian lives is that at my age, I have seen that happen dozens of times. In circumstances that almost drove me out of my mind. And He's brought me through it. One of them was the hurricane. We had no home. Earthly, humanly speaking, we almost had nothing left. And God worked that out to His glory, I believe, and to our benefit. David was being deposed by his son. Absalom had come in, sat in the gate of the city, won the hearts of the people. When the time was right, he got them to proclaim that he was king, and David took off like a scared rat. The anointed of the Lord. David knew he was anointed of the Lord. God had saved him from Saul. He had saved him from a lion, at least one bear, at least one giant. And on and on and on, we can say, David knew he was God's anointed. And he was running from his son. Shimei, I didn't look this up this morning, but I believe that's who it was. Shimei, one of Saul's family, saw him going, and he was delighted. Oh, you're going to get yours now, he was screaming at him. You bloody man. He was throwing stones at him, throwing stones at the king, and cursing him, and throwing dust up in the air. I believe it was Abishai said, mighty man with a sword in his hand, let me go and take his head off. He called him a dead dog. Let me go and take off the dead dog's head. And David said, no, you won't. You sons of Zariah are bloody men. That is maybe, that may be God's will. Maybe his cursing, he's been told to do that by God, and maybe there's a reason for it that we don't understand. Let him curse. I ask you, what would you have done? It would be difficult to imagine being the king of Israel with your soldiers around you, with the power at your disposal that he had, with somebody cursing you, calling you a dead dog. Well, I think for most of us, his head would have rolled that day. But David said in his heart, though it seems most wrong, it is right because it is his will. If I ever get there, not a moment. I've been there in moments. But oh, to be able to live like that moment by moment, day by day. That's the answer. Hide this in your heart. Roddy, hide that in your heart, and that's how you'll be. You won't sin against the Lord. The Lord Jesus used the word when tempted, not because he would sin. Remember what he did when the devil came to him and tempted him? It is written. It was his own words that he was quoting. But having made himself subject to the will of the Father, he prayed for strength, and he quoted the scripture in temptation. What an example for you and to me. Pray and read God's word. Still the answer. We must have heard that of thousands of times while we were growing up in Sunday school. Two things in the Christian experience surpass everything else. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. It's more than a child's song. It is the answer to a successful Christian life. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the testimony of it, of who you are. It's laws that teach us your will. The delight that we have in it when we are walking close to the Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to hide it in our hearts, that we might be a testimony ourselves to your grace and to your love. We pray for Brother Keith, who's not doing well today. We thank you for him. Thank you for he and Naomi's presence with us. We ask that these days will be days of spiritual refreshing for them and for us, your people, as well. And, oh, Father, we pray that precious souls lost in sin who know nothing of what we've been speaking this morning will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and they themselves learn your word and do as it says, go. And tell others. Be with us today, we pray, as we ask these blessings with thanksgiving in our Savior's name.